Hey, this is James from Modern Day Debate, and you are listening to The Canadian Atheist.
And our subject tonight is the supernatural dimension itself, the chieftain of that dimension, the concept of God. So I want to begin by clarifying why it is that I believe there is no such entity or person, and I want to go on to say why I'm relieved when I reflect that this is so, why I think it would be horrible if it were true or otherwise. And I think I'd have to begin with the distinction between theism and deism. Even Thomas Aquinas's famous five proofs of the existence of God, for example, are, strictly speaking, hardly theological at all. They're essentially only deistic. They are about first causes or uncaused potential or latent causes. They derive the idea of a creator from various gaps and from observation of the rhythms and the patterns of nature and the cosmos, and they postulate that these rhythms and patterns would make no sense without a first cause. In short, they postulate nothing more than the argument from design, which, as you all know, is subject to a refutation that says, well, if there was a designer, then the designer must himself have been designed, and threatens those who offer the case with an infinite regression into a chaos. However, I would say it's not possible to refute this argument conclusively or utterly or finally. Only one can point out, as I will, some gross absurdities and inconsistencies in it. But for this evening, and for the purposes of tonight, why don't I simply grant that it could be true, that there was an original creator, and that that's a good and elegant explanation for how at least the cosmos and the process of life on Earth, two quite different things, got started. Why don't I just grant the deist his point? After all, in the time that I've written the most about, at the time of Thomas Jefferson and the time of Thomas Paine, both of those gentlemen deists, an intelligent person would probably have had no choice but to believe something very like that. There's no superstition to it. There's nothing supernatural about it. But it leaves the theist, like my learned opponent, with all, if I make this concession, it leaves him with all his work still to come. He still has to show, somehow, not only that there is a God, but that he himself, understands the mind of that God, knows the will, or can interpret the will and wishes of that deity on such weighty questions as what is good, what is evil, what foods may be requisite, or what foods may be profane, what sexual partnerships are allowed, what sexual positions, indeed, are licit or legitimate, what days of the week are holy or otherwise, whether it is requisite to mutilate the genitals of children. Major questions where someone has to say, yes, I know we must do this because I happen to know what God wants us to do. Now, it's my submission, ladies and gentlemen, and I think it's a fairly modest one, that brilliant as a mathematician Dr. Lennox may be, no person, no other human being, no other primate, no fellow mammal of mine, however clever they may be, is in any position to say that they know God's will.
Welcome to The Canadian Atheist, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. Now, if this podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor, so if you get offended, you might want to switch off. The CA records each week live from Apostasy Studios. Why not join in the discussion? Find us on Facebook, email us at theca@rogers.com, or follow us on the old Twitter machine at @the_CA_podcast. If we're amused or tweaked by your stuff, we just might even use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
Well, all right, here we go. Welcome to CA. Today is Friday, October 2nd, 2020. I'm Michael.
I am Dean.
He's back.
I am back.
And this is episode number 121.
And we're doing it in person in studio.
Exactly. Exactly. We swapped a little spit earlier, and I figured, fuck it, at this point, everything good.
Everything good.
Everything good. I turn up my gain a little bit.
Well, we're hoping that it stays good now that there's schools back on.
School's back
so
on.
We've got the greatest little vectors all running around.
Yep. And it's, it is weird. Things are not going like they should. We're getting too many cases. What was the other day? It was 700. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's going up, definitely. It's expected after school is reinitiated. There is, we have another teacher friend of ours who said that there were 3 cases at his school and last week, and then this week it's 6 cases. So we haven't heard anything about cases at my kid's school yet, right. But they have already set up Google Classrooms, just anticipating if anything needs to be shut down again.
Have they set up Google Classrooms at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? That's right. Trumple Stillskins got the Rona.
He's got the Rona.
Now,
POTUS and FOTUS or whatever
it
is.
Yeah, FLOTUS and POTUS.
FLOTUS, that's what it's called.
Yeah, there was a great fucking... So with everything, so there's a fuckload of shit to talk about. We got a little bit of audio. We got to talk about the late, the great, and the missed RBG.
Mm-hmm.
And her Handmaid's Tale replacement, and or likely replacement.
The hypocrisy.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Jesus. So what's so? And then I'm also going to talk a little bit about the past 3 appearances I've done on Apologetics Live. There was including one I did last night, kind of last minute. They reached out, and so I'm back again. I had a conversation with Mr. Matt Slick, which was...
How was that?
It was interesting. He was less of a dick than I thought he'd be.
Okay.
He was way more a dick than Kent Hovind. Like, way more.
Way more.
Oh, pardon me. Sorry. Kent Hovind is way more of a dick than Matt was.
That's what I was about to say. Like, how can he be more of a dick than Kent and be nice?
Yeah, because and I mentioned this to Matt, like the level of condescension and just kind of like patting you on the head, that's okay, little boy, you don't know shit, from Kent Hovind is fucking epic and legendary. It's Matt only did annoying. That a little bit, and one kind of thing, so maybe we'll talk about it now. So so I had invited Andrew Rappaport onto the CA. I said, hey, you know, come on, we'll have a chat. And the reason I did that was because I saw a conversation he had with Skylar Fiction. And it was a really good conversation. So I'm like, okay, this is pretty decent. And so he used to be somewhat loosely affiliated with the Bible-thumping wingnut, a guy named Tim Hurd, who's a cock knocker. If you're into that kind of thing, hey, cool. But he's not and still is. And but now that he's kind of broken away and he has this new thing going on, he's much more... level-headed.
Okay.
So I watched the convo he had with Skylar, and I reached out. I'm like, hey, you want to come on the podcast? And he's like, I'm super busy. And then he sent me a message, hey, do you want to come on our show Thursday at 8? This was like Wednesday something. I'm like, all right. So I went on, so I had to get all my fucks and shits and cunts out of the way before going on there. Yeah, so what I do, everybody, is I go into the spare bathroom, and I put a towel over my head and bite a pillow and swear like a motherfucker for, I don't know, about 7 or 8 hours. And then I'm able to control myself for an hour or so speaking to people who believe silly things.
Yeah.
So went
like
on and...
Like words that you say are going to cause some kind of calamity.
Yeah, exactly. But and so it's funny because I haven't gone and looked at any of the YouTube comments because that's where humanity goes to die. But what I did do is I was talking to my daughter today actually because I had sent her the link and she watched the one last night. And when she was like there was this bitch in the comment section. And I'm like, look. Nobody, I went into the lion's den, so to speak, even though they call it a lamb's den. I went into the lion's den, nobody was going to be my cheerleader.
Yeah.
Right? I'm on Apologetics Live.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, who reads the comments anyway?
Apparently my daughter does. But, she's a bitch, and I'm like, whatever, I don't care. I haven't gone back to look at any of the comments. So the first talk was just kind of general, like, hey, and a little bit about God and this, that, and the other thing. And then the second time that I went on, which is 3 weeks ago, I think, we kind of continued that conversation on. Because so it's like a panel, right? So I'm walking in and I'm like getting punched in the side of the head, yeah, figuratively speaking. From so there's Andrew Rappaport, there's Doctor Anthony Silvestro, who's a dentist. There's
is Just, he really?
Yeah, he's a dentist. And then there's Justin. I forget his name. Pastor Justin. I don't know, actually know his last name. And then there's me, yeah, right? So there's a gangbang, basically, of Christians and me. I hope they don't go back and listen to this and be like, oh my God, he seemed like such a nice guy. But yeah, so there's, and I just kind of submitted myself. And I'm like, go ahead, ask me questions and stuff like that. And what I didn't do, and I was really kind of laid back on the first one. And the second time that I went, I was far less charitable.
Mm.
I was more short, and they would make claims like, no, that's not a thing. And, you know, or, you know, you got to be able to back that up. And I got called out for, so apparently, I was gaslighting all the time because they would appeal to this God. And I'd be like, what, you mean the God you can't demonstrate?
Yeah.
That God?
Yeah.
And Andrew would come in and say, you're gaslighting him. And I'm like, I'm just pointing out the fact that you're appealing to this completely undemonstrated standard.
Yeah.
That you're saying God, 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 God. And that would be super duper cool if you could show this God actually exists.
Right? Exactly.
And I was gaslighting. So, bad Michael. So, and then during that one, apparently Matt Slick was watching and was typing into the comments, well, hey, will this atheist talk to me? And I saw one of the comments pop on the screen. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll talk to him. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I, of course, didn't say that, right? It was so hard. So hard, right? Because some of the things they're saying in my head, I'm like, that's fucking stupid. Of course, I didn't say that. But it was – now, I will say, I think the person I got along with best was Justin.
Okay.
After the first episode, after they pushed the stop button, we chatted for about 45 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Really laid back. It was a super cool conversation. Because it was just, you know, no recording button, no audience, just two people having a chat. I get along with Justin very well. I get along with Andrew pretty well. Anthony, Dr. Anthony, I don't call him doctor. I just call him Anthony. Yeah. You're a dentist. I'm not calling you doctor. especially because you're not my doctor,
yeah,
right? You're not my dentist, so I ain't calling you that. Okay, so Anthony and I butted heads a little bit on evolution, and he was talking about all these different things. And I said, eventually, we're getting into the area of biology and stuff like that that you've studied more than I have.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit this point where I'm going to say, you're going to ask me a question. I'm going to say, I don't know. But I said, I want everyone in the audience to hear this. When I say I don't know, that doesn't mean you're right.
Yeah.
That means I don't know.
Exactly.
So my I don't know isn't evidence of for your position. It's evidence that I don't know.
Exactly. And he probably doesn't know either, but he's asserting something.
Well, I mean, it's funny. He was talking about how, you know, how this, you know, how things, like evolution is just, you know, it can't be this way. You know, it's too complicated. And I'm like, so life is rare. Like, okay, we've established life is rare.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they were talking about, proteins and all this other stuff, I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, so you're saying you don't know, but you're saying evolution is a fact. I'm like, yeah. I don't understand these intricacies. That doesn't make evolution less of a fact.
Yeah.
At one point, I'm like, look, guys, if you think you've got the, and this is one time I kind of slipped a little bit, I'm like, if you guys think you have the stones to take down Darwin, don't tell me. Submit this stuff for peer review,
yeah,
and be ready to be more famous than you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
I said, because you will have taken down what is perhaps the most well-established theory in science.
Exactly.
I said, we know more about evolution than we know about gravity.
I mean, when did Darwin release On the Origin of Species? What
1859.
Year? 1859.
So 150-ish years
ago. So, yeah, 150 years go by. And he still hasn't been disproven. We've only accumulated more evidence to show that his original theory, survival of the fittest, whatever, is correct.
Right.
We've verified the fossilized evidence. We can see it step by step, how things change over time,
yep,
with variation. And we have the DNA evidence to back it all up. So if your theory can overturn all that...
Fire away. Fire and it's away. Funny, one of the things that I said was, and they're like, oh, because I kept on talking about how their hypothesis for this God isn't falsifiable.
Yeah.
And I cited something from a debate that I had a year or so ago, and I'm like, the physicist Wolfgang Pauli said that an unfalsifiable hypothesis isn't right.
Yeah.
It isn't even wrong. Yeah. Like it doesn't qualify. If you can't falsify something, yeah, it's basically worthless.
It has to be falsifiable.
And I said an evolution is totally falsifiable.
Yeah.
Like anyone could falsify evolution. And I said, and then Darwin talked about it. You know, he kind of tongue-in-cheek said, you know, fossilized rabbits in the Precambrian. You find one animal in a place it's not supposed to be, evolution is toast. I said, and on that day, I'll walk away from it too.
Yeah.
Because it will have been demonstrated to be wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
So then we go back and forth. So then fast forward to last night. So you're talking with Matt and stuff like that. And the topic was morality.
Mm.
I'm going to post the episode so people can go listen to it. But basically, I've been thinking about this a lot, talking to different people and watching stuff and reading a couple of different books. And I have come up with what I believe, not come up with, it's a compilation. It's not this new and revolutionary thing like, I have an idea. But one of the things that Christians, the faithful believers, always say is you don't have an objective foundation for your morality.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just subjective. I'm like, no, I actually have an objective foundation for my morality.
What's that?
Well-being. So here's the thing. If you start with well-being as your foundation, and you but there's certain things that you have to apply to, right? Because it's not as simple as because God said so.
But well-being in itself is also subjective, because well-being of who?
Right. So here, and this is where I'll lay it out.
Okay.
So it's well-being, and you couple with that the desire and the intention and the practice of lessening the amount of suffering to the best of our ability,
mm-hmm,
and at the same time increasing the amount of flourishing to the best of our ability, you try to eliminate the involuntary imposition of your will onto somebody else who either cannot or does not consent. You imply John Rawls' veil of ignorance. So when you're designing a system or a society, you design it not knowing where you're going to fit into it, so that you design for it. It's like the whole, you know, it's like the analogy of the cake, right? So a family sits down and has a cake for dessert, and one person cuts. But the person who cuts the cake picks the piece last.
Yeah.
So that person makes sure every fucking, they got a micrometer out measuring the fucking cake to make sure it's absolutely equal. Because they don't know. If they cut three massive pieces and a couple of meh, they end up with a little fucking sliver and like, well, shit,
yeah,
I got fucked. So behind the veil of ignorance, when you don't know where you're going to land, you strive for equality, because you don't know if you're going to be on top.
Exactly.
Am I going to be powerful with privilege, or am I going to be the opposite of that?
Yeah.
And then to that, you tie consequential ethics, the understanding that my actions have consequences on conscious creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So what you said, you know, well-being can be subjective. No, because I seek to do the best for your well-being, and you seek to do the best for my well-being.
Okay, I was thinking of it on a much more removed level, as in, like, a species.
Right.
Well-being based on who?
Yeah.
Like, if you talk about a blue whale swimming through the ocean with cuttlefish and eating all the cuttlefish,
right,
then morality for the blue whale is eating all the cuttlefish.
Yep.
Morality for the cuttlefish is getting rid of the blue whale.
Exactly.
So I'm saying that there's it's morality for who?
Right.
If an alien species comes here and needs to wipe us out because we're in the way of them keeping themselves alive, it's immoral for them to destroy us all, but it's completely moral for them because they need to survive too.
And this is typically the same way that Christians will look at it. And they say, well, you can't look at well-being because Hitler thought he was doing the right thing, which is...
No, but I'm saying on a species level, that's incorrect, because Hitler thought he was doing the right thing, but he wasn't increasing well-being for humans.
Yeah, but he was, like Hitler, he was wrong. Like and this is the thing, I mentioned this before to these guys, I'm like, Hitler got it wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like yes, he thought he was doing the right thing, and he was wrong. And I can say he's wrong from my standard of well-being.
Yeah.
So you start with this standard. So I try to help you flourish as much as possible.
Yeah.
I don't impose my will upon you. I try to minimize, you know, your suffering. I try to treat you equally. And I understand that my actions against you may have negative consequences. And if you do the same thing for me, then we're going to be good. Yeah. Now, the hard part is, and this is what I said, because it is so incredibly simplistic from a Christian perspective. Well, morality is just whatever's in God's nature.
Yeah.
Well, fucking duh. So if, you know, so it's whatever, it's not to anthropomorphize God too much in a sexy way, but it's whatever way his cock is swinging on any particular day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right?
Don't murder unless I tell you to.
Yeah.
And then it's perfectly moral.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Right? Don't do this unless I tell you to do it.
Yeah.
The Bible says at one point that, what is it? I forget the verse exactly. But God says that the sins of the father will not be passed on to the son. Later on, the Bible says the sins of the father would pass on to the son unto the third and fourth generations.
Yeah.
And, which is a funny little contradiction, but the other thing that's funny about it is if that the whole idea of original sin and why we needed a savior was because Adam and Eve fucked up and now we're guilty because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't eat the fucking apple. I didn't eat the fucking apple. They ate the fucking apple. So fucking kill them. Leave me the fuck alone. So it's all very funny. So anyway, that's my...
But they all say that we're born with sin or whatever,
sin
like
nature.
That. Yeah, so,
a lot of people say.
What the fuck did Jesus die for? Didn't he wash away all our sins?
He washed away, he paid for our sins, the blood atonement.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on I'm going to strip into the Southern. I haven't done this in a while. He paid the debt for our sin retroactively.
Okay, so...
Interestingly
so
enough.
Then we're done, right?
No, we're not done. Because we still, and this is where, so it's funny because, especially when you're like, so Matt Slick is a Calvinist. He's a 5-point Calvinist. I'll get into that in another episode. And he's also takes on some stances on presuppositionalism and stuff like that. So.
5-star Calvinist?
That's 5.
5 points. Is that like a gold star lesbian or something?
Nice. boy, I sure hope Matt doesn't listen to this. No. Matt cannot be a lesbian. Matt is a man.
No, just 5 point.
So there's 5 points, right? So it's like point. It's like the 5 pillars of Islam.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's not 5 virtual pillars.
Right.
It's each pillar has this virtue about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or not virtue. That's the wrong word. Anyway, so there's this whole thing where so Jesus had to die. But we're still fucked because we deserve, because of our sin nature, because we're dirty sinners, we deserve hell, right? So and a Calvinist will tell you that it's only by God's grace, right? So you can do whatever you want to do, all the good things. You can drop to your knees and accept Jesus as your savior. If God doesn't grant you grace, you're fucked. So he's the one who decides. So talk about cock swinging in the breeze.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if he doesn't want you to have grace, you're cooking.
So what if you don't believe, but he can still grant you grace?
Then you will believe. And it doesn't matter because Romans 1 says you know anyway. Right?
No, this but like so the it, both of us, we got no chance of getting into heaven.
I don't. Have you blasphemed the Holy Spirit?
Of course.
Okay, well, you're fucked then. Because that's Mark 3:29 says that's the only sin that's unforgivable.
I don't even know what really that means.
It's basically to like talk against God's nature and stuff like that.
Don't we do that all the time here?
Yeah, I'm fucked. Like, I'm going to get, like, remember from Little Nicky, the pineapple the wrong way? I'm going to get a pine tree the wrong way up the ass. Fuck a pineapple. But yeah, like it's, and so... And it's funny because I've spoken to some Christians and said, you know, I have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. The Bible says I'm done.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm done? And I haven't yet found a Christian to say, yeah, you're toast. They're always like, well, you know, all depends what God wants to do. You know,
well, that's like
moves in mysterious ways, shit like that.
I knew a Muslim woman that I used to work with, and for some reason, she went and got a cheeseburger. Like she stayed away from pork and all that kind of stuff. But for some reason, she got and like meat entirely. She wasn't able to have. But she, for some reason, thought a cheeseburger didn't have meat in it.
So she does.
Because it was a cheeseburger.
Okay.
So
that would be greasy.
And she had it, and
she didn't notice when she looked at it.
And I don't know exactly. She couldn't see it through her burka? I don't know if she ate the whole thing or just part of it or whatever. But anyway, so then she said, you know, like, that was a mistake that I made. So I said, okay, so you're done then. You're going to hell. Yeah. That's it.
And you're done. So we had this conversation. We talked about morality, and so we got through this whole conversation back and forth, and eventually got to the point where he admits that he, so, because everybody has axioms, right?
Yeah.
So the only two axioms that I really operate on a regular basis is I accept that reality is real, and that my senses are reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else kind of...
You have to, because then otherwise you're like, you're the reductive thing. It just keeps on going.
Yeah. Yeah, like in an infinite... So, okay. So those are what I'm from. So I eventually got Matt to say that he basically presupposes as God. And I just threw my eyes. I'm like, well, Matt, if you presuppose God, well, fuck, we're done. You win. If you're starting the argument with God exists and I'm right...
Yeah.
And he says, but in my head, I'm like, what the fuck do you want me to do with that? You've already, like, you've poisoned the well to a degree nothing can get back from that.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I'm like, so you have this as a presupposition. I see your presupposition as unjustified.
Exactly.
So you start with this thing, you know, a supernatural thing that we have no way to test for. We have no way to confirm the causation. You just accept that it's real, affirm that you're right, and fucking happy birthday. Like, what do I do with that?
There's nowhere to go.
And so it was still a worthwhile conversation. I'm still glad we had it. I did call him out on a little bit of stuff, and he tried to call me out on stuff. And he's very, his last name is appropriate because he very much tries to wordsmith his way through things.
Yeah.
Like at one point he said, you know, he said, you completely dismissed the supernatural. I'm like, I didn't say that. I said, I currently dismiss the supernatural because we haven't confirmed it.
Yeah.
Confirm the supernatural and I'll consider it.
Yeah.
But until then, I currently dismiss what we have no reason to believe, yes.
Yes.
But it's funny, and he went on a little bit of a gish gallop at one point. But anyway, it was still a good conversation. I'll probably post it in a day or so. I just got to grab the link from Andrew. So, yeah, okay, so... What do we got to get? We got a shitload of stuff to get to. Let's talk about Cheeto and Chief for a moment. What did you watch the debate? Jesus,
that wasn't a debate. It was two old men yelling at each other.
Did you see that there was a funny meme going around where they babied the faces?
Yes.
me. It was fucking priceless. And it was the line of the night was, "Will you just shut up, man?"
Yeah.
That was priceless.
It was, but it's. He can't follow simple rules.
No.
That's the end of it. I mean,
doesn't have the capacity.
You can't stay quiet for 2 minutes and let somebody else say their piece, that simple rule he can't follow.
Yeah.
It wasn't a presidential debate. It was just a shit show, and it didn't sway anybody on either side.
Oh, no. I had said before, like, his sycophants don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Well, that's what I like Meredith and I were talking this morning about him having corona. It's like, what if he gets sick and he has an Ebenezer Scrooge moment, like where he wakes up and, you know, everything's changed and, you know, he's now like, you know, like a progressive leftist or whatever. I'm saying, like, would his supporters still support him? Say, yeah, climate change is a thing. Wear masks when you go out. Like it doesn't matter what he does, they'll still support him. If he turns around completely and says, I'm supporting the Green New Deal, they'll still be like, yeah, Green New Deal's a good thing.
I would like to test that hypothesis. I don't know. I don't know.
Like Medicare for all and all this stuff. Like,
I think Mitch McConnell's head would explode if that happened.
I would love to see that as well.
Yeah. Fucking Turtle Man. I fucking
He's
hate
so
that guy.
Abhorrent to look at.
Yeah. Okay. So something else we have to talk about, unfortunately, is the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yes.
And it's funny because I talked to a few people and people are like, you know, why do you care you're in Canada? And I'm like, well, true. While it doesn't directly affect my life.
Yeah.
it does have the capacity to affect a lot of the people that I really care about. And that's why I care.
And even though we have friends and family in the United States who are directly affected by what happens there, the United States is a big deal in the world. And what happens there ripples out.
Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about RBG. So she was born March 15th, 1933, and sadly died on September 18th of this year. She served on the Supreme Court from 1993 until her death. So at the start of her, if we look at just academia, she went to Harvard. So her early career. So the start of her early career, Ginsburg encountered difficulty finding employment. In 1960, the Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter, that's actually a real thing, rejected Ginsburg's for a clerkship position due to her gender, which was interesting. She was a teacher at Harvard Law School. She was a Columbia Law professor. And she did a lot of other stuff. From 1961 to 1963, she was a research associate and the director of the Columbia Law School Project on International Procedure. So this is someone who was a U.S. citizen but actually had an impact globally. She conducted extensive research on her book at Lund University in Sweden. That was on gender equality. Her first position as a professor, as a full professor, was at Rutgers Law School in 1963. In 1970, she co-founded the Women's Rights Law Reporter, the first law journal in the U.S. to focus exclusively on women's rights, and she did that from 1970 to 1980. She taught at Columbia Law School and became the first tenured woman and co-authored the first law school casebook on sex discrimination. She also spent a year as a fellow at the Center for Advanced Study in Behavioral Sciences at Stanford. So not a slouch.
Not at all. Not exactly just sitting around twiddling the thumbs.
So while on the Supreme Court, she fought to reverse gender discrimination. She fought for abortion rights. She fought against illegal search and seizure. She fought for voting rights in affirmative action.
One of the things that one of the things that I heard about her that was brilliant on her side when fighting for gender equality, one of the first things she fought for was gender equality as far as men are concerned, because when one of the problems was when women, like if a married couple, if the woman died, the man wouldn't get any of her
benefits or stuff?
Benefits, like any of the benefits from the woman. If the man died, then the woman would get the benefits, because obviously back in those days, the man worked and stuff like that, so she needed the extra money. But but if the woman died, the man wouldn't get any of the benefits. So she actually fought to give men the benefits when the woman died. So because she was fighting to give men more, everybody listened up. So it was her way of getting in there by fighting for gender equality, giving men more. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And she is likely going to be replaced by Amy Coney Barrett, who is... interesting. I looked at her academic record, and I looked at her employment record. Mm. It's pretty fucking impressive. Like, way more impressive than mine.
Yeah.
But it's still so scary because she belongs to this fucking hardcore right-wing group called the People of Praise.
Mm-hmm.
She's
young, too, so she'll be on the Supreme Court forever.
Yeah, she's 47.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's got 30 years, essentially. Well more than a generation.
Yeah.
To fuck things up.
Just like Brett Kavanaugh. It's like same type deal, like getting these young wingers in there.
Yeah. And when Kavanaugh dies, I think Squee automatically gets his seat, right? His friend Squee. I think just by default gets it. You know, he'll bring a case of beer and then he's on the court, right?
That's right. I enjoy beer.
Yeah. But
one of the things that's interesting, and S.J. Thomason, who I've chatted with a little bit on Twitter, and I've been on her show. It is she, you know, she was saying that you know she's perfectly qualified and all that other stuff, and that people are freaking out because there are people on the far left that are trying to knock Barrett down based on her credentials, which is not fair to do.
Yeah.
She is perfectly credentialed to sit on the high court. And I responded to a comment that SJ made by saying, if she had the capacity to occupy that seat and apply the law,
mm-hmm.
sans religion nut shit, I wouldn't have a fucking problem with it.
Yeah.
And the U.S. population should also be able to have that guaranteed as well, so that she's a member of the Supreme Court for every American citizen,
yeah.
not just the ones who talk to Jesus every day, and that's a problem, right? She firmly believes that women should be subservient,
yeah.
to their husbands.
And in 2020, I mean, come on.
Shannon made an interesting point. You know, she's like, well, why is she running for like? Why does she think she should be able to sit on the Supreme Court? And I'm like, well, this is one of the lovely contradictions within Christianity, is that they're able to compartmentalize and bubble themselves when it's appropriate for them.
Yeah.
So she'll go be badass SCOTUS justice at work, but at home she'll put on the Stepford dress and listen to her husband.
Yeah.
And they'll find a way to justify that.
Yeah, they will. I mean, the thing is that, like you were saying, she's perfectly credentialed to be on the Supreme Court. And the odd thing is that you don't need any credentials to sit on the Supreme Court. You can be just Joe Schmo off the street and go sit on the Supreme Court. You need no prior experience.
I know, which is really scary. Because, I mean, and it's funny.
Like, mostly it's high judges that get nominated and go over there. But you don't have to be a judge. You don't even have to be a lawyer.
He could have nominated a fucking Jerry Falwell Jr.
Well, he was on Fox and Friends, and he's like, "How about you, Ainsley? I can, you know, Ainsley Earhart." He goes, "I can nominate you for Supreme Court." And she goes, "I'm not a lawyer." And he's like, "You don't have to."
Nobody with the name Ainsley. I say, if your name is Ainsley, I love you, but I hate that fucking name. I don't. It's the most pretentious, stuffy. Mm. It's like Winifred.
Well, it's
right.
It just, to me, it sounds like white privilege.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like pumpkin spice latte, and the parking spot you don't deserve. Yeah. No, I get you.
Yeah.
So it's and it's funny because, like now, and we mentioned this I think before we hit the record button, is that. You know, it's like if Trump is, you know, does get truly, truly sick, which we said before. I don't want him to die. I don't want the man to die. I think I'd be lying if I said I don't want him to have some symptoms so he can't just walk around acting like he's fucking Superman.
Yeah.
But I do not want the man to die. We both want him to fucking go away.
Yeah, that's like, I don't wish him ill. I don't want him to die. Certainly don't want him to die. I kind of want him to have some effects from COVID just so he...
Thinks he has it?
Just so he doesn't, like, you know, I'm the best. I didn't even feel anything. Just go away. Just be irrelevant.
Yeah. I'm actually going to read that comment that...
Yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah. So...
Because, you know, if he gets... Like, if he's asymptomatic or whatever, he's going to talk about how deadly and everything that COVID is. Mm-hmm. But he was totally fine.
So, this morning on Facebook, I put this... post on saying, will Trump's virus be the best virus? Because, you know, everything about him is the best. And a friend on Facebook says, $20 says, this is now going to be the worst virus ever. A really bad virus. Everyone dies from this virus. Only the strongest people will survive this virus. I survived this deadly virus. In fact, I survived the virus better than anybody else. I'm the only one who really survived this virus. People dead all over the world. They all died, but not me. I survived. I survived because I am strong. I am so strong, probably among the strongest, and only the very strongest survive this deadly. And the Deadly Deadly is the best because he always says everything twice because he's a fucking moron. Yeah. And again, don't want anything, you know, certainly don't want him to die. But if Pence is exposed as well, he's been exposed. Kidding Ho. Who? And tests positive and has to quarantine, right? Then, as we were talking about before, it would fall to Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Right? Speaker of the House is third in line.
Yeah.
And maybe she can, you know, kind of subvert some of this fuckery and make it so that, you know, Barrett can't get confirmed.
Yeah. She can definitely do that. She can definitely stick her nose into, like, it's just the hypocrisy of the GOP saying that Obama wasn't able to nominate a justice 9 months before the election.
Yeah.
But they're trying to rush this person in 5 weeks before the
election. Oh, exactly, yeah. It's like, we just found, come on, we can do this, run. It was like, the train's pulling out of the station. We can catch this train.
Yeah.
It's not too late.
But all the arguments they used to not let Obama do it, they're turned around. And said, no, we have to do this.
Yeah. The American people deserve to have a justice. Did they for those 9 months? That's different.
What I did hear, though, was that if Biden comes in, Amy gets in and Biden wins, what they can do is they can shove two more people onto the Supreme Court.
Yeah, they can pack the court.
And just because there's nothing that says there has to be 9 justices.
No.
Just make it 11. Put two more, you know, lefters on there.
Yeah. Now, in order to do that, they'd have to control the Senate. So they have to.
I mean, that's happening too. I mean, a lot of Senate seats are up for re-election.
They're a lot like Turtle.
Yeah.
Like Turtle.
It's Turtle and it's, what's his face? Two faced fucker.
Is it Cruz?
No.
Rubio?
No.
You say two faced fucker, Republican, exactly. And so many names come to mind.
The guy who's the biggest hypocrite of them all, who said Trump was an idiot and what?
Oh, Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Him and Turtle Boy are winning in their districts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're neck and neck with whoever's running against them.
Yeah, McConnell, who's from Tennessee,
yeah,
has been a senator for, like, I don't know, 750 forever. Years. So that's going to be hard. So if they can get it, some of the other ones, all they need, I think they need three.
Lindsey Graham is going, he went on Fox and he said, you know, you got to send me money because his opponent is raking in tons of money and is going to go on this ad campaign that he can't compete with.
Yeah.
But the thing is they're neck and neck in his district. So
I think the Democrats need three.
Yeah.
To turn it over. And that would make Schumer the head of the Senate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's Senate Majority Leader, right?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Because, and then Kamala Harris would be the president of the Senate.
Because Turtle has been the Senate Majority Leader for way too long.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that he likes the term Grim Reaper, because you can't get any bills past him. He just leaves it sitting there in a pile. He's not even going to look at it.
Yep.
Do your fucking job.
Oh, he thinks, but
and then Trump and those guys, they go online saying, "Oh, they can't get the Democrats don't pass any laws and stuff." It's like, you guys aren't doing it. They're passing all the laws up to the Senate, and you guys don't even vote on it. So yep. What the fuck?
There's all these bills, and you won't bring them. You won't bring them. Yeah. But the fucking second after Ginsburg's heart stopped.
Yeah.
It was, Trump's nominee will get a vote.
Yep.
The fucking second after it happened.
Well, he's doing the whole thing. He's laying the groundwork, right?
Yep.
All the mail-in ballots are wrong. They're all fraudulent. So yep. This is going to go to the Supreme Court, and I'm going to stock the Supreme Court with six of my guys, yeah. And there you go.
Even though the FBI has said there's positively no evidence. Like, zero. Not. And what's funny
is... Do you think evidence matters to these people?
Well, no. But, of course not. But what's funny is... And I was mentioning this to Shannon last night. If there was voter fraud, it would be in everyone's best interest to stop it.
Yeah.
Because it might work against... So let's say there is voter fraud. Let's say there's rampant fucking voter fraud.
Yeah.
It works for the Democrats this time. but it could work against them next time.
Yeah.
It's in the Democrats' best interest as well as the Republicans to ensure no fraud. There and it doesn't matter. There's no fucking evidence of fraud anyway.
Thing, John Oliver did a great piece on this whole voter fraud thing. And he went through, step by step, what you would have to do to take somebody else's like mail-in ballot and change it.
Yeah.
He goes, you'd have to find somebody like to get their ballot, have them change the address so that you get the ballot instead of them, and then like all these things, like, you know, it's ridiculously difficult steps. And then also, people are always looking for voter fraud, and you've given them your address. And so it's a really high risk for one vote.
Yeah.
So you could do jail time for one vote.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that?
Trump was saying during the debate that there's, like, it started off at a couple hundred thousand. By the end of the debate, there was 20 million ballots that they discovered.
Exactly. It was 20, like 7 they found in like a garbage can or something.
2016, only like 7 million people voted. And they found 20 million ballots? They found 7 times more ballots than people voted.
Well, that's just, like, wait. This is one of the biggest, most interesting votes that's coming up. Like, a lot of people are very interested in what the results were going to be. And I'm still saying, are they even going to crack 30% voter turnout?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I think they're going to have a problem is that Biden fucked himself a bit when he stood on stage and said, "I'm the Democratic Party." That was not a wise.
I didn't like it when he said that.
That was not a wise thing, in my opinion, in my professional,
like he said,
political commentator opinion.
I think he was trying to appear strong and trying to say that, don't listen to what Donald is saying. Listen to what I'm saying. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the whole defund the police and Green New Deal and all that stuff. That's not what I am saying. And I am the party.
Good intentions, poor execution.
Very poor execution. I heard that too, and I was like,
"Yeah, not a great thing to say."
Watch yourself, boy.
So, but
really, he could say anything. He could say anything, and he's still the better choice.
Oh, sure he is. Sure he is. And that's horrible because he's a horrible choice.
he's plain white toast and milk. There's nothing to the guy.
There's nothing inspiring about him.
Yeah.
I have a serious boner for Pence and Harris getting on the stage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's going to be because he's going to be staring at mother so much, trying to figure out what the fuck to say to this. Who is this? Does everyone know this is a woman debating? Is she allowed to do that? That's the shit going to be right. That is what is going to be legitimately running through his brain.
Yeah. Well, doesn't he?
Because he's a fucking Christian dominionist.
Didn't he say that he won't be with women alone?
Oh, he won't have a private meeting with a woman. He won't. There has to be a panel. Or mother has to be there.
Mother.
This is what he calls his wife. Could you imagine if he started calling Meredith mother?
Oh, my God.
Like, what? That's, no.
I call her... like mommy sometimes, because not in that way, but I say, like, you know,
exactly. Go ask mommy or something.
Where's mommy? Like, you know, thanks mommy for making dinner or whatever. Like. Yeah.
But all his kids are grown and out of the house and he still refers to her as mother. That's a problem. That's a problem.
But he also talks to Jesus every day. So.
Well, no, he doesn't. He sure thinks he does, but that's not a thing.
Just talking on the wall.
I can't wait for that to take place. Serious, have a boner for that.
When is that?
Next Wednesday.
Well, we have to wait for his results to come back, right? Don't they have the quick results for those guys?
I don't know.
They have like a 12-hour test or something like that.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. So we should already know.
That's interesting. Oh man, I don't want him to be positive. Because I want to see him.
You won't debate.
I want to see him fucking squirm. He is about as charismatic as a fucking turd.
Yeah.
He So there's a great, you can go into this, there's this little thing called YouTube. You can go into YouTube, and you, in the search bar, you can type Pence evolution speech. And he's in the Senate talking about evolution. He's a much younger man.
Yep.
He's got like salt and pepper gray hair as opposed to now he's look like he's dipped in white paint. Hey, fuck, he's got hair. I got nothing to complain about. Anyway, so, but he's a much younger man, and he shows his crippling stupidity when he says evolution's just a theory.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to go further than that. It doesn't have to go further than that.
If you say that, you don't know nothing.
Exactly. You don't understand what the word means. So, at least in scientific in scientific discourse.
This is the one of the things that bothers me is that the language in scientific discourse, as you just said, is so counterintuitive to the layperson.
Yes.
That it's just a theory or things like this.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's not what it means.
It's funny. That's one of the things that I said when we were to jump back into the Matt Slick talk last night. They were talking about laws and stuff like that. And I said, no, I said, it's actually theories higher than that.
Yeah.
And a theory contains laws.
Yeah.
It's not the way you think. It's the other way around. And that was, I said that to Justin, who, again, super nice guy, but he had this look on his face like, really? And I didn't say that. I didn't call him out on it, but it was like, yeah, really? Like,
yeah.
A theory is higher than a law.
Yeah.
You know, like the germ theory of disease.
Yeah, the theory of gravity.
People talk about the law, but no, it's gravitational theory.
Yeah.
It's a bigger thing. And there's all kinds of laws within that that make up the theory. Anyway, not to belabor the point too much, but Pence is fucking stupid. And I can't wait to see him get his ass handed to him. And he'll probably bring up voting records and stuff like that because Harris does have some questionable voting things in the past.
It all depends on the moderator, though. I mean,
yeah.
Chris Wallace, he's the only Fox guy that is actually, he's a newscaster. He's not an opinion guy.
Yeah.
So he actually reports about the stupidity that is Donald Trump because he is doing the news.
Yeah.
He is on Fox News and he's one of the only news guys. So, yeah. But the thing is that, I mean, Trump just talked over everybody and he was trying to just like, no, no.
That's why they got to have a mic switch.
They do.
They got to be able to cut off his mic.
I mean, you can mute people on Zoom.
Exactly.
You can't turn off his mic.
Exactly. Yeah, this is 2020. You can't get a little fucking button. Shut that fucker up.
It's like Star Wars when they've got the headset with the wire on it.
Yeah.
In the Millennium Falcon. It's like, wait a second, what? You have interstellar travel, but you don't have wireless headphones?
Yeah, exactly. I got wireless headphones. Fucking everybody's got wireless headphones now. Okay, so I got a couple pieces of audio, are interesting.
Sure.
The first one is by a lovely gentleman. His name is Pastor Robert Henderson.
All right.
And what's really interesting about Robert Henderson is he killed RBG.
Oh, okay. Let's hear this.
Well, of course he didn't, and he's stupid, but I found this fascinating. So I'm going to play this, and then we can chat about it a little bit. Here we go.
We were in the meeting on Monday night in D.C., and I told him, I said, look, we need to go into the courts of heaven right now while we're on site in D.C.
So,
courts of heaven?
The courts of heaven. Courts of heaven. What isn't... but heaven's like a dictatorship, right? Well, would they have courts?
Yeah.
They have courts?
No.
I didn't think so.
God saying what goes.
Huh. Right. Sorry, I didn't get very far into that one.
See, and we need to shut the mouth of the lion judicially. We need to ask for a judgment against the lion that has actually been devouring and intends to devour from the Supreme Court. We need to get a judgment against this lion that Paul said God shut the mouth of. So I led us into that place. Well, guess what? Ruth Bader Ginsburg has passed away. President Trump will establish a new Supreme Court justice. That's no accident. That's no accident. We dealt with that very significant. Someone said, now, how can you have the authority to do that? Because we are a house of prayer. Yes. Yes. Because you are a house of prayer.
So you hear the music in the background? The
organ's on.
It's like this. There's so he's got a band behind him. It's a video, right? So he's standing there, and he's wearing a Stars and Stripes shirt.
Oh, my God.
Which is against the law. Like, it's actually illegal in the U.S. to wear the flag as clothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
People do it all the time.
I know, but apparently it's against the law.
Let me look that up. Yeah. Go ahead.
And so he's got a band behind him.
Yeah.
And it's all kind of blacked out, so you can't really see. You can see the person standing at the organ, but...
No individual can do that, but a house of prayer that is representing a culture can stand in the courts of heaven and get verdicts rendered out of heaven that will allow God's will to be done. Do you need to understand?
Do you need to have a verdict in heaven for God's will to be done? Isn't that just a thing?
No, you just ask God, hey, bud, what do you think about this? Okay.
Right? And you know what the funny thing about that I've always wondered about prayer, and I didn't bring this up last night because I was talking to a Calvinist, is because if God is omniscient, right, he knows everything, and he's already, and a Calvinist would say that that there's predestination.
Exactly.
Right?
It's already done.
Why are you praying? sidetracking this for a little bit. So Matt, when he came on the broadcast last night, he said he was feeling a little bit nauseous. Then he said something really weird. He said he drank some water with baking soda.
Huh?
Yeah. And he had some bread. And I'm like, well, I hope you feel better. I don't think that's going to help you feel better. In my head, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? If you're like, water if, with I'll send you some soda. Money if you can't afford Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah.
But seriously.
Water with baking soda.
And there were people praying for him. In my head, I'm like, why are you praying for him?
It's already done.
Yeah.
Whatever happens is already done.
Exactly. It's God knew Matt Slick wasn't going to feel good tonight a kabazillion years ago.
Yeah.
But you're praying.
Yeah.
So, of course. So you think that you should be able to enter the courts of heaven and effect change. Yeah. What'd you find out?
No, well, there is a law called Respect for the Flag.
Right.
Now it says the flag should never be used as wearing apparel, bedding, or drapery. Now, I think that means you cannot change the flag into something that you can wear. If you're wearing a shirt or a blouse or a bathing suit, whatever, that has the flag's imprint on it, I think that's okay.
Oh, you think that's how they get around it?
That's what I believe. But it says it should never be festooned, drawn back, nor up in folds, but always allowed to fall free. The flag should never be fastened, displayed, used, or stored in such a manner as to permit it to be easily torn, soiled, or damaged in any way.
Very
interesting. So as long as you're not taking a flag off a flagpole and draping it around yourself to make clothing,
then you can have a shirt. But people do that all the time.
They don't.
Olympians constantly grab a flag and drape it over their shoulders when they're running around.
It's like a flag, like a cape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're and Superman. They
haul their asses into jail.
Exactly.
Is it illegal to wear apparel with the American flag? People say it's illegal, referencing the federal flag code, which outlines equity for glory. The federal flag code is recommended etiquette, but is not legally binding.
Oh, right. Interesting. So yes, but no.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, but no. But
it's
yeah.
Frowned upon.
It's frowned upon. You get a stern scowl. Is that what you did? Did you really do that? I'm scowling.
Well, it's like drawing on the face of the president.
Money,
on,
right?
On the,
yeah.
On the money is who cares? It's not. You're not supposed to, but who cares?
Yeah. I used to do that all the time. There was a funny meme. Apparently. Wilfred Laurier on the $5 bill.
Yeah, if you
people
make
Spockify
it.
Him like all the time.
Spockify him, yeah. His eyebrows. But you can also do the thing where you fold the bill in such a way. It's like a Mad Magazine thing. You fold it right down the center of the face and then on the edges of the lips.
Yeah.
And then if you look at it on a down angle, it looks like they're smiling. And if you look at it on an up angle, it looks like they're frowning.
Oh, that's interesting. So too bad nobody ever carries cash anymore.
Yeah, like...
Like, what's fucking cash?
I've got a $20 bill in my pocket, but that's, like... That was because it was given to me today.
Oh, I had said the same thing. I got, like, $160. Like, 100, a 50, and a 10.
Yeah.
My wallet downstairs. And it's because Shannon's dad gave... Like, I did something. I'm like, here's the money. I'm like, fuck am I going to do with this?
What is this paper you're giving
exactly. me? Exactly. I look plastic. Like a fucking ballin'. But I only got one of them. Okay, let's listen to what the rest of what idiot boy has to say.
If we don't shut down this abortion issue...
Ooh, he's mad. No. And this is part of the thing, right? So abortion is the whole thing. I'm telling you, if fucking Barrett gets in, Roe v. Wade is in serious trouble.
Why are they so about the abortion thing? It's not even mentioned in the Bible, is it?
Like,
people never had abortions 2,000 years ago.
Numbers 5.
What's Numbers 5? I don't know.
Numbers 5 actually lays out how to carry out an abortion.
But, I mean...
It's the only reference, and it tells you how to do it.
Like,
so,
with what? Like a sharp stick or something? What
no, did they do 2,000 years ago? It's way more gross than that. Okay, so here's our Bible lesson for today, people. So Numbers 5, you can look it up. It is the only record, to the best of my knowledge, the only record in the Bible where the Bible specifically tells you how to carry out an abortion. So basically, and it's a woman's fault anyway, right?
Of course.
So, if a month goes by and the woman has no bloody rags to show, so she didn't get her period, and the man thinks she was unfaithful, then she takes the woman to, like, the tabernacle where they do all the sacrifices and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And the priest or whatever gets a bowl, and he takes dust from the floor. Now, this is where the sacrifices happen, so I'm sure it's super clean dust.
Oh, yeah.
And it mixes it with water, and she has to drink it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yummy. Yeah, don't sign me up for that. And then, if she was unfaithful, it will cause her womb to swell and discharge, causing an abortion. It's the only mention.
So if you don't have a natural immunity to whatever's on the floor, you cheated.
Yeah, or you could. Yeah, and it could kill you too. Right?
Oh yeah.
Who knows? Fucking bacteria.
Well, even if it doesn't, how happy do you think your husband's gonna be?
Yeah, exactly. But what's funny about that is now if the woman didn't cheat and she doesn't miscarry, there's no recourse for the woman. Right?
So you're saying that if she drinks this dirt water,
yeah,
and her body doesn't abort on its own,
right? That means according to this, she didn't cheat. She may still have cheated. Who's kidding who? We're talking about dirt and water. It's not going to fucking cause you to miscarry.
But if that doesn't work, then she has to have the kid.
Well, she'll have the kid. But, so basically, if the man falsely accuses her, there's no recourse for the woman.
Yeah.
Because women
yeah.
don't fucking matter.
No, yeah.
Right? And the men can go and fuck as many people as they want. And they can have as many wives as they want. Look at how God gave Abraham so many. Like, he was such a good and faithful servant that God gave him however many, you know, like, pimping wives and stuff like that. So it doesn't even matter. But no, there's only the one mention in Numbers 5 about that. Now, Christians are super butthurt about Roe v. Wade, and they have been for a long time. If Barrett gets confirmed, I am genuinely concerned about Roe v. Wade. Shannon and I were talking about this. The thing I'm most concerned about with if Roe v. Wade were to be repealed is the fact that it will decrease the amount of abortions in the U.S. by zero.
Exactly. It'll just increase the number of illegal abortions.
Yeah. And women will, you've heard the term back alley abortion. That kind of stuff will happen. Women will die. Women will be injured. A woman who has an abortion, maybe when she's 18 or 19 years old because of, you know, whatever, maybe a rape, or maybe she's just like, oh, you know, the condom broke and we didn't want to have a baby, stuff like that. And she has to get a back alley abortion because she can't get a legal abortion. And then 10 years later, she can't have kids at all because of the botched back alley abortion.
Yeah.
Obviously, these abortions aren't happening in alleyways, obviously. But, you know, that's the term, back alley abortion. So, but... And it's funny because I'm reminded of something that Christopher Hitchens said, and we've talked about this before. You know, Christians they have this truth, right? And they're so convinced that it's true, and you think that it would make them happy, but they're not happy.
No,
They can't be happy till you believe it too. And if you don't believe it, well, then at least you have to be prepared to live under that law, right? If you contrast that with, you just say to everyone who's Christian, if you don't want an abortion, don't get one.
Exactly.
Nobody's and what the funny thing is that so many male lawmakers they're still such a gross misrepresentation of women, you know, in the lawmaking and enforcement process. So it's so many white men usually deciding all these laws that are going to affect women.
Yeah.
People who have no skin in the game.
But why don't they? I don't understand the necessity to remove people's rights.
Why can't they
have the choice to make to have an abortion or not?
Oh, because it's killing a baby. Most women,
it's not a decision taken lightly.
Of course not.
There's a lot that goes, the thought and anguish and heartache and all the stuff that goes into making that choice. But it's still their choice. You're taking the choice away.
Yep. And they're totally fine with that because they're standing up for the innocent baby. And that's ironic for a bunch of reasons. One of the ironies of this is so many people on the right are for small government, don't tread on me, all these other things. And the irony is, I don't want you affecting my rights, but I want to be able to tell you what you can and can't do.
Exactly.
And the other huge hunk of irony in that is that Christians don't believe babies are innocent. They're born with sin.
Exactly.
So fuck off. Like, you can't fucking fish on both sides of the river.
And if they were actually, and the same people who want abortion to be illegal also don't want any kind of birth control or, like, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, if you actually don't want people to get abortions, why don't you support sex education? And, you know, condoms in every washroom in the high schools and all this stuff. Do things, support programs that actually cause less pregnancy.
Right.
Rather than just ban abortions.
But there's a problem with that. And the problem with that is then you're not living in Gilead.
Exactly.
Right? And if there are any...
All the women in red dresses.
Yeah. If there are any Christians that are listening to this... you probably haven't watched it because you were told by your pastor not to. Just go watch it.
Yeah.
And it's what people like Mike Pence and Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett want to usher in. That's the shit they're talking about. They won't say it, but it's what they fucking mean.
Yeah.
And that's just me being prophetic.
I mean,
there.
Yeah. Handmaid's Tale is one of those books that they make you read in high school because of how poignant it is.
Like 1984.
Yeah. I didn't read Handmaid's Tale.
I mean 2020.
They gave us a choice. 1984 or Handmaid's Tale. I think I chose 1984. Like, I don't know if that was it was the same year. But I chose 1984 over Handmaid's Tale. I didn't know anything about either of the books. But, 1984 was fucking scary, too.
Yeah. I didn't read 1984 till this year.
Oh, really?
I had just never read it.
Yeah.
And I'm reading it, I'm like, nah, I threw it in the corner. God. I'm like, get away. I sat in the corner fucking rocking.
And they're watching you through the TV. I mean, like, our TVs are listening to us now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy shit. All right, let's listen to this. This dumb fuck's almost done.
Okay.
That blood altar will invite demonic powers into this nation. It will continue to do it. As bad as killing babies here, it's not just about the babies. It's about a blood altar that is inviting demonic powers. We have to shut it down. And we need a judgment against the mouth of the lion.
He had to say judgment three times. He was
the mouth of the lion. Yeah,
he was channeling Trump there.
Yeah. And the hypocrisy mad. Too, because if they, you know, cheat and their mistress becomes pregnant, right into the abortion room with you.
While I can't know this for certain, I would be willing to bet that a good percentage of these good Christian pastors have paid for abortions for their mistresses.
Oh, for sure.
Now, you say, oh, you can't possibly know. You're right. I can't possibly know that. Yeah. It's just speculation. And I'd like to be shown that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think, especially when you have people like Ted Haggard,
yeah,
who was found fucking snorting coke off of his male prostitute's dick in a fucking well, back alley hotel room.
He probably didn't get any male prostitutes pregnant.
He probably didn't, right. Yeah. No, just that's why we swallow.
But it's like I have absolutely no evidence that there's life anywhere else in the universe, but I believe it exists.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe
zero evidence.
These other things are happening. Yeah.
Well, there's tiny, tiny, tiny bit of evidence that there's life on Venus, but that's yeah, very speculative.
Our last little bit of audio is from our friend Mr. Rick Wiles, who is he's becoming way more extreme. So he went from just dumb fuck stupid conspiracy dude to this is dangerous what he's saying.
Yeah.
It's really dangerous what he's saying. Let's just he'll do all the talking.
Mr. Meadows, please tell President Trump that he is now in possession of the bomber bullets. 2 billion bomber bullets.
What?
You're in.
So,
bomber bullets?
Yeah. So apparently, there was a time during Obama's administration where he basically sanctioned or approved the production of these bullets to be used by local law enforcement or something like that.
Okay.
So there's just like a stockpile of these bullets.
Right.
That's all.
In possession of them now. You got the bomber bullets. And you can put down the resurrection. I mean the insurrection.
Paging Dr. Freud. That was funny. You would think, so he put this out on YouTube, like, you think, wouldn't you edit that?
You'd think.
Coming from someone who doesn't edit a lot, but I'm like, if I messed up, you know, insurrection with resurrection,
yeah,
especially if I was a Christian, I might change that. That might be worth the edit.
You know, like time, let's start over.
Yeah, hang on. Like, fuck it, we'll do it live.
You can put it down. You have the bomber bullets in your hands. And you don't have to tolerate this anymore. They were purchased for the purpose of putting down an insurrection. Well, you got one. So put the hollow point bullets to good.
Hollow points.
Yeah. How many of the protesters, of the peaceful protesters,
which is legal and what you're yeah, supposed to do,
have been arrested for doing bad shit?
Yeah. How many of them are criminals who should have hollow points used on them?
Yeah.
My God, hollow points.
Exactly.
You know what a hollow point does to a human body?
Yeah, it turns it inside out.
That means that there's no chance of saving that person.
No.
They get hit, they're dead.
Yeah. It puts a 6-inch hole right all the way through them. And so, you know, contrast that with all of the things that groups like the Proud Boys,
yeah,
have done.
Stand by.
Yeah, stand. Yeah. you know where what they're trying to do is cause shit for the people who are just peacefully protesting.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about. I do have a hard time with the looting and stuff like that.
But that's not the protests. That's the other people that either, well, there's theories that they sent people out to start that shit, and there's other people that are just, you know, jumping in.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm not saying that I'm insensitive to it. It's that I probably don't understand why some of the people are doing it.
Yeah, why that becomes a thing.
You know, because of, you know, the marginalization and the, you know, the restriction, you know, the lack of access to wealth and things like that.
It's
that can cause people to loot. So I'm not saying that that's the thing, but
But it's hard to understand, especially living here as opposed to there.
But then getting back to, you know, the people who are protesting, the people that are marching, the people that are, you know, kneeling in the streets and stuff like that, they're not doing anything wrong. And these people are saying, you know, it's like this guy saying it's an insurrection. No. They're not storming Capitol Hill with guns.
Or when those anti-maskers show up on their parliament steps with guns and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're not tear gassed. They're not told to go away.
Listen, they're very decent people on both sides.
Good use. And get out there and put down this communist revolution so the rest of us could live our lives peacefully.
What about the irony in that?
Yeah.
Shoot these people so I can live peacefully. What the fuck?
Yeah.
How fucking stupid are you?
We got to start a war so we can be peace. So we can have peace.
Yeah. I don't get it.
I mean, on other Americans, I mean...
And Dean and I are sitting here just looking flummoxed at each other. Like, what do you say to something like that?
It's really... They don't even note it. Like, from one day to the next, do they even realize what they're doing?
Probably not. Oof. Well, we came back and we conquered. It's an hour and 16 minutes.
There you go.
I didn't even have that much shit, but we ended up talking about all kinds of fucking shit.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Crazy so work. We have to commit to doing this again next week. Next week we have to do this again. I'm clutching my new mic stand.
Yeah, brand new mics, new equipment.
New mics.
Yeah.
I didn't get a new computer.
Well, not, you don't need a new computer.
No.
Want one.
I still want one. There are shiny new ones. I just bought my new iMac.
Yeah.
So Shannon will cut my nuts off.
Crazy Mac boy.
Yeah.
You have some of the strongest brand loyalty of anybody I know. If it's not a Mac, it's crap. If it's not a Porsche, it's garbage.
Thank you for saying it right.
I have to say it properly. I caught myself there. And you know, if it's not Darth Vader, it's garbage.
Yeah, pretty much.
The brand loyalty in you is insane.
Yep. So, hey, for anyone who's looking to buy some of this brand loyalty, I am a whore. I'm not cheap, but I'm a whore. If it's a car, it's got to be a Porsche. It's funny. I am very much that way. I know this about myself.
Yeah.
When I'm in, I'm all in. and I know this about myself.
Yeah.
I know this about myself. So, and I might need some help. I might need some help. So I finally just unloaded my old Mac Mini, the old machine, but because the hard drive was faulty on it.
Okay.
But I still found something to buy for $300.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the parts and shit they can get out of it. But yeah, I mean, so yes, you're right. Right, I got nothing. But it's funny. Shannon was looking to get an upgrade, and the cell phone companies. I don't know how much longer Canadian cell phone companies are going to be able to get away with raping us way they do.
What do you mean?
So basically with Rogers, there's no more phone subsidy.
No, there isn't.
There's no more phone subsidy. It's so for all of our US listeners, you can get 10 gigs a month, $75 a month. Okay. And then you just pay for your phone. So if you want the newest, latest, and greatest, it's basically about $40 a month. So now you're paying $110-ish plus taxes.
Yeah.
So it used to be you got subsidy on the phone.
Yeah.
No more subsidy.
Well, Meredith and I just got new phones. This is the Samsung S20 Plus.
Right. Okay.
This was Meredith's phone because when we both...
is that the blue one?
This is the blue one that Meredith got.
Okay.
When we both called in saying our contract's up, we want new phones. Both want the S20 Plus. Send them out, and they said, "Okay, here's what we can do. We'll charge you $40 each, and you can go right over to the store across the street and pick them up, or we can not charge you that, and we'll mail them to you." So I said, "Like, I'm not gonna pay $80 so I can get my phone today. The fuck is that?
Yeah, no, I'll have it in 3 days.
Yeah, mail it out. So I said, okay. Mailed it out. Meredith got hers. I didn't. So call in saying, well, what the hell? They say, oh, they're all in back order. It'll be a couple weeks before we get new ones, but we'll call you and let we know. We'll let you know when we get them and we'll send it out. 2 weeks go by. 3 weeks go by. Fourth week, I call up and say, well, where's my phone? And they go, oh, that order was canceled.
Why?
Exactly.
So, I didn't cancel the order.
Anyway, long story short, Meredith hates the Samsung.
Oh, really?
She had the Pixel 2 for 2 years. Loves it. So she switched completely switched over from iPhone to Android. Loved the Pixel because it's stock Android. Everything exactly. She knows where everything is. It works the way she wants. Everything like that. So she hated the Samsung.
Okay.
Every day complained about it. And then so I called in trying to get my Samsung. And she's like, oh, can you get it? And so then I looked, and they have the Pixel 4a. It's a smaller phone, but it's a Pixel. So I said, I'll get the Pixel. You take the Pixel. I'll take your phone. So, yeah, it was a whole big deal talking with Rogers and stuff like that. But they're still charging us incorrectly. I still have to call them and get the billing figured out.
Right.
Because they charged me for a phone I didn't have and a plan that I didn't have for 2 months. Before I actually got the Pixel phone.
Huh.
And yeah, there was a whole thing about, like, they gave us a plan, but they weren't able to charge us. Like, we said we wanted it to be as close to what we were paying as possible. So it ended up being just like a couple bucks more each. But they weren't able to charge us that little for the phone. So they didn't give us a plan with a rebate on the plan. So the plan only ended up costing us like $11. So, because they have to charge us X number of dollars for the phone every month.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I still got to call them because they're still charging us $20 too much on this phone.
Jeez. Yeah. So, I don't, like I said, I'm not sure how much longer the monopoly is going to be able to go on. If one of the cell carriers from the U.S. breaks in, it's all over.
Yeah.
Then like we'll be paying, then we'll be paying, you know, $19 a month for our cell phone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have an S10 from work. They let me keep it. So I'm going to sell that to somebody. Like, probably get a couple $100 for an S10.
And maybe, I don't know.
Like, still in the box, basically. I never used it.
Yeah.
I still have the box. I just put it in there. There you go.
There you go. It's ready to go.
No, it's got a slim case on it and screen protector that it comes with.
Right.
I didn't change that, but here you go. Still in the box.
Well, that's cool. All right, that's an hour and 23, so we're done pretty well. I can't think of any more trouble for us to get into right now, but we will be back again soon. I am going to post that that other one from Apologetics, probably, I don't know, today or tomorrow, something like that, whenever I get this up, and we'll take it from there, but we'll be back at you again very soon. But until that time, I have been Michael.
I have been Dean.
And we shall see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.